I realize that we're in the dead of winter now, even though it's felt like a very mild one. It has been a very mild one. But I've been looking around the parsonage yard recently, imagining the raspberries coming back to life and bearing fruit, thinking about the big green hydrangea leaves forming and unfolding, and the lovely oversized blue-purple blossoms that will follow. I'm even getting excited about planting lettuce in the vegetable garden. Even in the bitter cold, a couple of days ago, I was thinking, there are roots down there in that frozen ground with the genetic information necessary to create beautiful flowers and sweet-tasting fruit. As we speak, people and machines are putting seeds into colorful envelopes somewhere so that many of us will be able to plant one day. Plant lettuce plants that will eventually produce tasty salad greens, planting string bean seeds that will eventually become a wonderful part of our meals. What is inside, what is underneath, will eventually be outside and visible and tasty. What is underground, even if it is microscopic and completely mysterious, will eventually become something tangible and will make its entrance on the earth in front of our eyes. In the Christian tradition, especially in more evangelical circles, there is a basic teaching that goes like this. Our first priority is to become people of faith, to give ourselves to Christ, and then good things will follow. We will be blessed, and our behavior will be better. There are some things about that formula that I don't buy. Especially that it is a formula. And I don't think our spiritual lives can be defined by formulas. But I do think it touches on a real truth, a real wisdom. I do think that there is a really important connection between what our interior emotional and spiritual realities are, our intellectual realities, and the exterior quality of our lives as we experience our days with ourselves and with others. When I put a pot of water on the stove and turn it on to cook pasta, I usually place a lid on the pot because it comes to a boil more quickly. And then, of course, I start slicing vegetables or doing dishes. And in a minute or so, I hear this big crash as the top slides off and the water boils over, and this big hissing sound and all the steam and the big mess. Makes perfect sense. Boiling water will push the top off of a pot if not caught in time. The heat and the steam inside will have its way outside. In the Gospel of Matthew, there's a section that we have traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount. It's a series of sayings and images that runs from chapter 5 through chapter 7 and is one of the best known sequences in the New Testament. It starts out with the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, and so on. It includes last week's scripture that we discussed about salt and light. This morning's reading was just a few verses, but I think those three verses capture the meaning of this particular section of the Sermon on the Mount. In it, Jesus draws connections between our thoughts, our feelings, our words, our relationships, our actions, and our connection with God, our faith in God. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder. But I say to you that if you are angry, even, with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. Okay, so Matthew's version of Jesus is a little hyperbolic. But he gets his point across. It's not just what we do that matters. It's what's going on inside of us too. Our intentions and the words that they produce. And words do have a real impact. We tend to minimize that, but they do. Insulting someone used to be something that happened, it had to happen face to face. But if we think about it, technology has now allowed us to insult each other in myriad ways. Even as long as 100 years ago, we could write a poison letter and have it be delivered. Or we could give someone the finger from the protection of our car. Nowadays, we've got unlimited choices. Email, text, Facebook, Instagram, and of course, Twitter and others. But our mode of delivery doesn't change the fact that our feelings of disdain for the other and our words can do great damage, not only to others, but to ourselves spiritually. Matthew also includes those verses about reconciling with a sister or a brother before offering our gifts at the altar. In Jesus' world, offering a gift, meaning an animal sacrifice, at the temple in Jerusalem was the ultimate act of worship. So Jesus is connecting our relationships with others with our relationship with God. He's saying that they cannot, these relationships with our brothers, sisters, family, and friends, those relationships cannot be separated from our relationship with God. They cannot be compartmentalized. Which I think makes good spiritual sense. We cannot separate the apple seed from the soil, or the rain, or the tree, or the blossom, or the fruit, or the sun that makes it all possible. They are all connected. Each one influences the other. At other times, what's outside of us influences what happens within us very strongly. When I was the youth minister in the Walpole Church in the late 1980s, there was a young teenager there named Tom, whose grandmother had just passed away before I started at the church. He would worship every Sunday, whether his parents came or not. If he had to, he would walk to church. And it was because he had been so very close to his grandmother, and the loss that he felt impacted him so strongly, and it drove him to search for comfort and for meaning and for direction in his life at that church. He thought about pursuing ordination, but eventually became a seminary professor, who I'm sure has positively influenced many pastors as they prepared to lead congregations. So loss can move us to faith and to leadership and to service. It can cause deep pain and emptiness, but it can also lead us toward transformation and effectiveness in the world. So can education. When we encounter new information, if we're open to it and really absorb it, we are filled and we are changed. Learning repositions our perspectives. I remember reading the New Testament all the way through for the first time when I was 22. I didn't accept every single word, and I still don't, but I was never the same again. Everything from my politics to my life goals shifted and became energized because of that new input. Traveling can do the same thing. In Mexico, I encountered suffering and hope that has informed my preaching and my ministry with you since I arrived 7 years ago. I know that not everyone can afford to travel, but even walking through Boston Common can inform our understanding of the world, can change us from the inside out if we're looking and listening closely. Looking at paintings, listening to music, exercising, spending time outdoors, all of it molds us and feeds us, inspires us, changes us. Serving our neighbors in need, awakens within us a sense that we are not the center of the universe, even though we may have been raised to think we were. That we share this earth with others who aren't so lucky. Showing up to work, doing our best, dealing with conflicts, dealing with challenges and opportunities, that too alters our identities and priorities. Sometimes it's just as simple as this. Someone walks into a room, or nowadays, someone contacts you online. Whether it's romantic or friendly or professional, our life is forever changed by that person entering into our lives. And our interactions with that person hopefully inspire us and lead us toward a new and satisfying and generous way of living. Our spiritual experiences also shape us. Some of them are more mystical and indescribable, like a dream or a prayer or a sudden revelation that can't be explained. Sometimes it's just coming to church on an ordinary Sunday like today, or going on a retreat. But these moments make us more aware of the presence of God in our lives. What I hope and pray for is that all of these influences, whether it's the way our parents raised us, or the way our kids inspire us, or our experiences on the playing field, or that master's degree we got, or Van Gogh's Starry Night, or the view from the top of Mount Adams, or our wonderful church, or our time providing food for our hungry neighbors, I hope that all of these things will have a meaningful impact on us from the outside in, and then from the inside out. I pray that all of these things will make us better people, that they will act as a glue, connecting us with each other and to our neighbors and to the divine, that something much larger than ourselves, something wonderful and indescribable.